40 years and 80,000 families. Trust your home to the bee. Casey Hendrickson.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's News Channel, and the all-new MNC Nation. I want to thank all three radio stations for tuning in and joining us today. We'll be picking up some additional stations a little bit later on in the week. We'll be covering for Pat at WoWo on Thursday, I believe. So that'll be, what, five radio stations this week. There may or may not be some others sniffing around. We'll talk about all of that stuff in due time. All right, what do we got here? Well, we got a lot. First of all, I want to thank R&B Car Company. Locations in South Bend, Warsaw, Columbia City. R&B Car Company are your used car experts. I wasn't sure if I was going to do this today or if I was going to do this tomorrow, but since a lot of other people started picking up on it, I figured that I would cover it today. What if I were to tell you that some of the writers in the news media that are attacking Sound of Freedom are actually pedophiles and have actually worked for pro-pedophile organizations that are out as being pro-pedophilia? We will talk about that a little bit later on in the program, and we will also get into a whole bunch of stuff. We got to deal with Disney. We got to deal with Ukraine. We got to deal with Trump. Even have to deal with Mars, believe it or not. So lots to get to. All right, what do we got here? Let's just start off with this soldier in the North Korea, South Korea border situation. We know a lot more about it now than we did for most of the day. So you heard there's this, U.S. soldier's there. I think he's an E-2. U.S. soldier's there. He crosses into the northern border. They're saying by accident, which you can't really do, okay? It's like you can't do that. So they either went there intentionally, and for whatever reason that intention was, still remains to be seen. However, we have a lot more clarity today. Throughout the entire day, we didn't have any information other than he was there, he was a part of a guided tour, and he left the guided tour and then crossed the border. And we don't know if he did it accidentally or on purpose or what have you. Well, it turns out that this soldier is actually an inmate who is escaping. So this is somebody who's serving time behind bars in South Korea. The U.S. soldier detained in North Korea on Tuesday laughed as he broke away from his civilian tour group and crossed the line of demarcation into North Korea, according to CBS News. Now, they are citing a person who is in the same tour with him. The soldier, whom local media identified as Private Second Class Travis King, had passed airport security and on his way back to the U.S. for disciplinary reasons when he somehow escaped his escort. Now, he had an escort. So this is a guy who is behind bars. He was being sent back to the United States. Okay, he had an escort. He escapes the escort. He then joins the group who is visiting the border between the North and the South. So as he joins that group, he's given his escort the slip, is basically what it is. Let's see. Another person who claimed to witness the crossing while moving through the joint security area for the demilitarized zone said that the man suddenly laughed and darted out of sight between buildings. This man gives out a loud ha 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 and just runs in between some buildings, the witness said. King was being transferred to Fort Bliss, Texas from a South Korean prison where he was being kept on assault charges and was set to face additional disciplinary action, according to the United States. I thought it was a bad joke at first, but when he didn't come back, I realized it wasn't a joke, and then everybody reacted and things got crazy. Military personnel reacted quickly to the situation. The witness said, according to CBS, the remaining members of the group were hurried back to the JSA's Freedom House where their witness statements were collected. The group then returned to their bus. I'm telling you this because it actually hit me quite hard, the witness told the outlet. It was on the way back in the bus, and we got to one of the checkpoints. Someone said there were 43 going in and 42. Coming back. Local media said that the man crossed the DMZ at the demarcation line at about 3:27 local time. Okay. So here's the thing. We heard earlier that somebody just, you know, went there and it was kind of portrayed as, it must be accidental. The first thing I was thinking of was, this is not accidental. Depending on how the crossing happened, it was either an operation and he was trying to sneak in and he got busted, or once we heard about the tour group, I figured he was probably defecting. And what ended up happening is he might very well be defecting. I mean, this is a guy who's behind bars and he saw an opportunity to escape. He goes to North Korea. Maybe he could defect to North Korea. Who knows? Maybe all of the stories about North Korea are lies and he'll be treated like a hero or a king or what have you, and he'll do well. So at this point in time, we are dealing with somebody who is behind bars, was being transported back to the United States for additional disciplinary issues, and he decided to flee into North Korea for whatever reason. So whether that ends up being a good idea or a bad idea for him, I guess we will have to wait and see. There are not that many Americans in North Korea, but there are some. There are some who did defect over the years that are there. I've seen interviews with them and that sort of thing. So they're there. It does happen. It's very, very rare, but it does happen. And this is a guy who is, you know, he's basically a criminal at this point. So maybe in his mind he thought he didn't have anything to lose, so went to the North. And he's pretty low level, so he shouldn't have much actual serious intelligence to offer them. But that appears to be the situation at this point in time. Okay, so that's all relatively new. I think the Fox finally did update their newscast on it here recently, but a lot more to that story. But this is a guy who escaped custody and fled across the demarcation line to North Korea, where they now have him in custody. So who knows what's going to happen from that point on. If we know anything about Joe Biden, if this guy is a, if they're a specific type of a basketball player or a specific protected class, Joe Biden will probably try and get him back. Otherwise, Joe Biden will just let him sit there and rot like he usually does. So we'll see what's going on and how this all develops and what North Korea's position on this is when they actually finally issue a statement on this. But like I said, this wasn't somebody who just got lost and accidentally got snatched by the North Koreans or anything like that. Wasn't a military operation, at least according to the witnesses. Wasn't a military operation to try and sneak into the country. Which does happen with regularity on both sides, by the way. It just, he was escaping custody, saw a chance at, air quote, freedom, I guess, and headed towards the demarcation line, crossed into the North, and they took him into custody. You got more coming up. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's news channel. I'm your host, Casey Hendrickson. Don't forget, big shout out to the MNC Nation as well. More coming up. Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's news channel. I am your host, Casey Hendrickson. Again, I want to thank the MNC Nation for tuning in as well. If you're watching online, I want to thank you for joining us. Most of you are going to be watching on Rumble. That is our home online, rumble.com/Casey the host. If you're new there, please hit subscribe. Please hit the thumbs up. It means a lot. The thumbs up is a big deal with Rumble's algorithm on the homepage. For those of you who are not watching on Rumble, you're probably watching on Kick or Twitch. Go ahead and follow on those platforms as well. Do appreciate that. All right, so let's go over. Well, one, there's been another train derailment, another train with hazardous material in Pennsylvania. And I don't know. Last I checked, Pete Buttigieg hadn't commented on it. He's been in Vermont, I believe, with the flooding. And so he's been doing press conferences and stuff like that in Vermont about the flooding. To my knowledge, he has not mentioned the train derailment yet. So we'll wait and see if he actually addresses that anytime soon. Usually he doesn't until it's weeks later. In other news, Biden has approved yet another $1.3 billion to send to Ukraine. So it's another $1.3 billion. Now, I feel like I need to take some time here and kind of go over this because this is going to be a major election issue. This is going to be a big deal. You're not just going to see the Mike Pences of politics talking about how we should give Ukraine everything that they want, which is essentially what he said when he was being interviewed by Tucker Carlson, is we should give them everything that they need to, you know, repel the invasion, that sort of thing. So this is going to be a central part of this, because what's going to happen now is we're going to get into the campaign and you're going to start actually learning about the dollars that are involved. You're going to start to understand that a little bit more. It's going to become a much bigger campaign issue, depending on who the primary nominee is going to be for the Republicans. Right now, of course, it looks like Trump. Trump is somebody who wants Zelensky to negotiate for peace. Zelensky used to want to negotiate for peace, too. Zelensky's not emboldened to do so now for various reasons, one of them being tactically. So Biden has approved another $1.3 billion to Ukraine. United States will announce a new pledge to buy $1.3 billion worth of military aid for Kyiv and its conflict with Russia in the coming days, according to two U.S. officials to Reuters. A U.S. official told Reuters that the new package would include new counter-drone systems, exploding drones, ammunition, and air defenses. So I feel like we should probably go over this. Do you have any idea how much money and let's just say a dollar amount, because some of it's in assets, some of it's in hardware, that sort of thing. You know how much we have given Ukraine in this conflict? Any idea? Okay, let's go over the numbers, shall we? It's more than $75 billion. With this $1.5 billion here, we're looking at roughly $77 billion. $77 billion have gone to Ukraine. Now, the reason I bring this up is there was a point in time where we had given more to Ukraine. It was like twice as much, I think. Don't quote me on that. But it was certainly a lot more than the annual defense budget of the entire Russian Federation. We are giving them gobs and gobs of money. Now, for our military spending, this isn't that much. For pretty much everybody else in the world, this is a staggering amount of cash. The hardware involved and everything else. Now, you can say that that's worth it because of the war. That's fair. But I want people to understand how much money is actually going to Ukraine. So we're roughly, with this 1.5, we'll just say roughly $77 billion, okay? Roughly. Let's take a look at what $77 billion actually funds. Well, it is more than NASA. It's more than twice the budget of NASA. NASA sends rockets to space. That's a lot of money. NASA's budget is only $32 billion. It's more than the USAID, which is the Agency for International Development, which is only $49 billion. It is more than the GSA, the General Services Administration, one of the most powerful bureaucracies in the federal government, which is $53 billion. It is more than the Department of Justice, which only gets $69.9 billion. It's more than the Department of Labor. It's right about the Corps of Engineers, Civil Works, and the Department of State. So we've basically given Ukraine the annual budget for the Department of State. Now, again, hopefully that just puts it in perspective a little bit for you. So we are, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Like, it's like Ukraine's gotten the equivalent of like the 18th most funded bureaucracy in our federal government. It's just a staggering amount of money. Now, once you get beyond the Commerce Department, well, not the Commerce Department, the EPA, excuse me. Once you get beyond the EPA, then you start going up in just substantial dollar amounts, and then it starts getting crazy with the funding. So we are talking about more money than the Department of Justice, guys, by like several billion dollars. That is a staggering amount of money. And more's going. To give you an idea of like hardware type stuff and where the aid is going. By the way, the vast majority of that aid is military. 61% of it goes to military. Then there's 34% that are simply financial aid. So loans, financial support, that sort of thing. 5% of it is humanitarian aid. That's about $3.9 billion. So we're not doing a lot of humanitarian aid per se in Ukraine. We're doing a lot of the heavy lifting. So we're giving them lots of money with loans and things like that, and then lots of military hardware. So we've given them, what, 10,000 javelins, which are very, very effective, 70,000 anti-armor systems and munitions. We're sending them more, 1,700 Stinger anti-aircraft system, 4,000 TOW missiles, 35,000 grenade launchers and small arms with ammo, because the Ukrainians, I love the liberal talking points on this, because every time we're sending rifles and stuff like that to Ukraine, liberals love that. They can defend their country finally. Those are the same types of guns that you want banned here. But, you know, I digress. 100,000 sets of body armor helmets. And we're not the only ones who have sent that. So, I mean, this is just the United States' contribution. So, I mean, we could go into, there's artillery, there's tanks, there's drones, there's ground support vehicles, satellite services, radar, coastal defense, explosive and combat drones, in addition to surveillance drones. We've given them 20 Mi-17 helicopters, and those are Russian helicopters that we had in our possession. We gave them to them. We've got tons of air-to-ground missiles that we've given them. We've also given them tons of air defense systems as well, which have proven to be very, very effective. Now, again, I'm not saying that they're not effective. None of this includes the cluster bombs that we're sending over there, which I have to, I got to take issue with some of the more right-leaning outlets here. The cluster bombs are not illegal. It's not just the right-leaning outlets, but they're the ones that are really attacking Biden over the Ukraine thing. The cluster bombs are not illegal. There are nations that have signed treaties banning cluster bombs. We have not. Neither has Ukraine. Neither has Russia. So the cluster bombs are perfectly legal. Now, you may not like them. You may not like the idea that we're giving them to them. You might see it as a bit of a Trojan horse to get us involved in the conflict in a more traditional sense. And I know that a lot of people have made that case, and it's frankly not a bad argument to make. But they're not illegal. And I keep seeing these articles saying they're sending illegal cluster bombs. They're not illegal. This goes back to the same old, the Iraq war was illegal nonsense. No, it wasn't. It was not illegal at all. But now you still have, you have a lot of young people who did not live through that Bush era, that they believe a couple of myths. One, that Iraq was illegal. And two, that there's no WMDs found in that country and there wasn't a real concern about WMDs. Those are both false. Those are anti-war left-wing talking points that, unfortunately, a lot of the young people have grown up with, who are now in the Republican conservative sphere. They don't know enough about the issue. So this type of stuff has got to stop. The cluster bombs are not illegal, okay? You may not like them. That's fair. You don't have to like them. You can point out that other countries have banned them and that maybe we should, too, if that's an argument that you want to make, but they are not illegal. It's not illegal for us to have them. It's not illegal for Ukraine to have them, and it's not illegal for anybody to use them. We are not signatories of that treaty. So just giving you an idea of just how much money we are talking about. More money than the Department of Justice gets. More money than the Department of Labor gets. Just throwing that out there so you understand the gobs of cash that we are dealing with going to Ukraine with this latest influx. MNC News Time is 3:31. Got to tell you about Impress Jewelry Creations. Folks, if you are looking to pop the question, Impress Jewelry Creations has the best bridal jewelry around, period. Go get yourself an engagement ring that is worthy of her praise, one that is going to be, you can have it customized, you can have a natural diamond, you can have a lab-grown diamond, which, by the way, will have better color, better clarity for half the price of a natural diamond, but it is a real diamond. And so much more. All of that available right now at Impress Jewelry Creations. Let them know that I sent you. Visit them online at ImpressJewelers.com or visit their beautiful showroom, again, at 1233 East University Drive in Granger, Indiana, right next to C. Kramer Interiors. Got more coming up, 95.3 MNC.
From the B Window Studios, 40 years and 80,000 families. Trust your home to the B. Casey Hendrickson.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's news channel, and the all-new MNC Nation. I am your host, Casey Hendrickson. It is Tuesday, which means it's Tuesday Tithe with Pastor Lucas Miles. Pastor Miles, how you doing, man?
I am doing great, Casey. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too. So I think that we have to talk about Sound of Freedom, don't we? I don't think we can do a Tuesday Tithe after what we've been seeing without discussing this film. It's expected to hit $100 million at the box office this week.
Major, major story. I actually know several people involved with both the production side as well as some of the talent in the film. And just incredible story of, you know, based on true events of an agent that focuses his attention and efforts on rescuing children who are caught in trafficking, you know, really, you know, industry and being sold for, you know, sex trafficking and everything else that's going along with this kidnap. And, you know, Jim Caviezel plays this agent. And it's gotten just amazing reviews. I think it's got 100% on Angel Studios on their viewers' reviews of it.
Yeah.
But it's obviously got a lot of negative press from some mainstream media. So definitely a big story in the Christian world.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about this, too, and I think it was it the guy from Goya Foods who's like an executive producer or something like that? I think he said, like, all grace to God on this thing, because it's just a miracle that this thing has taken off the way that it has. This thing raked in 80.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I think it's, he was involved with it. I also saw some messaging from Tony Robbins that looked like he was involved with this as well. There were several other kind of major figures. That one was new to me. I just saw that the other day.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But yeah, I've seen some numbers as upwards of 100 million. I mean, it is just killing it at the box office, despite the challenges and some of the negative PR kind of countermeasures that have gone out against it.
Now, what do you make of it? Because $85 million in 2 weeks, it's expected to be $100 million this week. Now, this is, for reference, just so everybody understands, this is the only movie outside of the Christmas season to ever see a second weekend ticket sales increase over 35%. That never happens outside of Christmas. So what's happened is now, again, word of mouth, right, Pastor? People hear about this thing. They see the media trashing it, and they immediately go, we have to go see this thing. I was just looking at the movies right now. There's a bunch of, like, big movies that are in the theaters right now, and this thing is smoking them. And we're coming into it potentially getting $100 million right now. And there's still people don't realize that this thing was shelved by Disney for over 5 years.
It's really remarkable when you see the story. I mean, first of all, it is a good film. I think that they handled the material very tastefully to where, you know, sometimes you see stories. I mean, this is not the first movie to cover this topic. But it's, you know, you leave there feeling like, what did I just watch? I didn't want to be exposed to that. This movie, you feel the intensity of the situation. You feel the emotion of the parents involved, the agents involved. But it's not glorifying it. It's not gratuitous. It's not putting you in a situation where you feel like you're compromising your family by them being there. And, you know, just to clarify, this is not a Christian movie. You know, it has, you know, you hear a few curse words in it. You have intense situations. Yeah. This is not a gospel presentation in this movie. It is a story about based upon this real life agent, Tim Ballard, who, you know, this was his life. It started a nonprofit for the purposes of rescuing children, and, you know, went all around the world doing this, and testified before Congress, you know, on one of his major cases that is part of which is covered in the film. And so, you know, there's a lot to unpack in this film. There's a lot to like about it. I think this is what this is showing is, first of all, the box office isn't dead. You just have to find something that people actually care about. And I think that what this shows is that it's a lot of the woke stuff that Hollywood is throwing out there. It's not moving people. But when people see something they care about or hear about something they care about, they're going to show up to the theater to watch it.
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting that you've got the strike happening right now. And it's, you know, nobody's concerned with it at all because Hollywood hasn't really turned out anything good on a consistent basis anyway. Meanwhile, you have this movie's doing fantastic, which, again, rebuffs Hollywood. You've got the show Chosen. They're still continuing production. They're still making, you know, episodes. So, and that's, of course, still going like gangbusters. I know they had a little controversy because of something that was seen on set. But, you know, overall, the message is the message. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking at this. Have you been tracking the weird things that have been happening at the movie screenings of this thing? Like,
I've seen a few of these where they're saying that people, like, basically the AMC is, like, shutting off the heat or shutting off the air, you know, or, you know, the air conditioning units, and saying that, you know, it's being marked as tickets are sold out and people get there and
it's an empty
and it's
theater.
Actually more seats available.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep. So it's weird. I mean, look, I try to be the measured guy and not jump on the conspiracy thing, but this seems to be, like, a consistent pattern that's happening. I think it's worth looking into, and it seems to be some effort to bury this. There was also some countermeasures. Somebody turned me on to this week of people that were trying, there's some fake news story out there trying to say that, Tim Ballard was actually pushing the agent in this that is based upon the Jim Caviezel plays, was pushing microchipping children. And there was this whole like Twitter thread on that. And that from my research on that, that's completely, there's no evidence of that. There's no push of that. That just seems to be a fake news story as a countermeasure to kind of bury the success of this film, which, you don't see that. Nobody's trying to do countermeasures to bury the success of Indiana Jones or, something else. Nobody cares if it does good or does bad. It's just a movie. It's going to, hit the market, and the audience is going to do what it does. But for this film, there seems to be this weird sort of agenda to not have it do well. Because I think it sort of, stands against that Hollywood message. And the concern also is that there's some people that almost don't want awareness on this subject, and that's probably the more concerning part, of the story.
Yeah, and you've heard me say this a lot, too. I mean, the research shows anywhere between, 70 and 95% of all women and kids who come across the southern border are molested or raped. Some people actually put that closer to 100% of women who come across the southern border. Trafficking is a very, very big deal, and we're one of the top destinations for it. I've been over those numbers before, but I've said this for a long time. People who are pro-open borders, they support this stuff. And at some point, I think you have to ask, why is it that they're not concerned with the human element of the people who are being brought across the border? Because they oftentimes end up as victims here. And it's not just that we don't want immigrants in our country, and it's not just they took our jobs type stuff. It's very much that I don't want those people to be treated this way. I don't want them to be abused. I don't want them to be indentured servants. I don't want to see that happen to them. And there are people who keep looking the other way. And now you've got a movie that's just like, look at this. Don't look away. Just look at this. And the media backlash on this, I'm going to cover one of them here in a couple of minutes, Pastor, who's actually affiliated with a pedophile group, where they are talking about this being a QAnon conspiracy, and this isn't a real problem. This rarely happens. When we have all of the data, even from the United Nations, that says the exact opposite.
Yeah. Look, I've had an opportunity to meet several people who are part of this film and get to know some of them. I've been with Jim Caviezel multiple times. I interviewed him on my podcast show, The Christian Left, in person, spent a couple hours with him at the National Religious Broadcasters a couple of years ago. I first met him when he was up here in South Bend, just briefly. Tim Ballard, who plays the agent on this, I had the opportunity to meet at the National Religious Broadcasters at this as well. He came to an event that I hosted, at that and got to hear him speak and share a little bit of his story. The guys behind Angel Studios, they're just great guys. They're smart. They're good business guys. They have a really, strong commitment to create family-friendly programming. Set aside the faith component of any of this, because again, this is not a faith story. We need solid programming for families. We need programming that parents can watch with their kids and talk about these issues. I mean, this is like better than any after school special when we were younger.
Yeah.
And you're on the edge of your seat. It's intense. And it's, the whole time I noticed for me, I didn't get pulled into this like the way if I'm just sitting down and watching some other movie where it's like, oh, I can just kind of turn off my brain. And this, the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, this stuff really happened.
Yeah.
This is based on true story. This is based on a true event. And it was a different watching experience. And so it's hard to say that you enjoyed it, but it was just, you felt it the whole time. We took about 100 people from our church to this film. We got tickets for everybody, brought them out there with people bringing their friends and neighbors and these things. And afterwards, people just stood out in the lobby at Showplace, on the south side of town, just talking about their experience. Had several dads saying that was, talking about how hard it was for them to watch. Talked to another father who went and saw this movie with his daughters and was just, and they were teenage, and adult daughters, in their young 20s and these things. And just how... how difficult he said it was for him to kind of watch this film with his daughter sitting in the row next to him thinking, about all the what ifs that a parent's, worst nightmare in these situations. And so, we need stories like this. I'm thankful for Angel Studios, for, you know, for Tim telling his story, for, you know, for Caviezel just for bringing that to the screen and just doing the, you know, what he does. And so, this is something if you haven't seen it yet, I would definitely encourage the listening audience to go check it out.
You know, that sounds like a church that, I think a lot of people would want to be a part of who goes and sees a movie like this. How can people link up with that church, Pastor?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Check out, Influence Church. We're in Granger, Indiana. If you live outside of the immediate Michiana area, although we do have some people that are driving hour and a half, we have folks that come down from Kalamazoo every single week to join us. But we're working on really ways to expand our message. We have a great live stream that you can find on Facebook, our website, our app, and other platforms. And you can always get our podcast as well, listen to after the fact. We also do some Wednesday nights periodically that kind of dive into a lot more cultural topics. So we're really, you know, we view ourselves as the front of the spear, you know, on a lot of these cultural issues, especially as they relate to family and faith. And so we'd love to connect with anybody if they're looking for a home church.
All right, man. Pastor Lucas Miles, thank you so much. I do appreciate it. See you next week.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Casey.
Take care. Got more coming up. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's news channel, and the all-new MNC Nation. And good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's news channel, and the all-new MNC Nation. Got to tell you about MyPillow.com. I don't know why I made that all throaty when I said that. I don't know. I'm struggling today. It's only Tuesday. I don't know how I'm going to get through the week. It's only Tuesday. When I'm pushing the wrong buttons, I screwed up my out cue on the very first segment, and now I can't even talk properly. So it's going to be one of those days. So if you go right now to MyPillow.com, just plug in promo code Casey at the top of the page, and that will unlock the deals for the entire website. Just double-check it when you check out. That promo code Casey is in there. And you can get buy one, get one free. MyPillow 2.0, again, this is their latest product. The MyPillow 2.0 is an upgraded version, better stitching, holds its form better, and now with all new cooling technology, MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code Casey right now at MyPillow.com. Yes, it still has the patented fill. Yes, it still has the 10-year warranty and the 60-day money-back guarantee. Yes, it's made in America. And yeah, you can throw it in the washer or dryer, and it will be a brand new pillow again when it comes out of there, which is not something that you can get from a department store pillow. MyPillow.com, promo code Casey. So in the next segment, I will get into the pedophile. I'm going to call him a pedophile. At the very, very least, he's pedophile adjacent, and he's a pedophile apologist who is in the news media, who is attacking Sound of Freedom as a QAnon conspiracy. And this is an individual who actually got in trouble 2 years ago for doing other things. But this is somebody who continues to be employed by Bloomberg, by NBC, and by several other people. They continue to hire this guy. So we'll get into that. A lot of the negative press that you're seeing about Sound of Freedom are coming from actual pedophiles, folks. Actual pedophiles. Now, let's just go back in time. This is the border debate. One of the reasons that Donald Trump was so popular when he came down that escalator was he immediately talked about immigration. He immediately talked about the border. And they lied and lied and lied and lied about everything that he said about that thing. And they've continued to lie about it every day since. But the reason is people have seen not just what happens to their loved ones, not just the economy, not just cultural things that end up happening when you have illegal immigration and crime. They saw the human toll on people who are just trying to get here, who weren't criminals, who were good people, who were just trying to find a better life for themselves and their family. And they were watching them get trafficked, they were watching them get enslaved, and they were watching them get raped and abused. And they were watching it happen to children. And everybody on the left, on the right, in the middle, who has been pro-open borders, has been ignoring that, which is why for years you've heard me say anybody who's pro-open borders is pro-indentured servitude, because that's what it leads to. So I'm going to tell you about this pedophile coming up, 95.3 MNC and the all-new MNC Nation.
40 years and 80,000 families. Trust your home to the bee. Casey Hendrickson.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's news channel and the all-new MNC Nation. Don't forget, we're live streaming on Rumble, and go to rumble.com/CaseyTheHost. Please subscribe, hit the thumbs up button. If you'd prefer, you can watch on kick.com or twitch.tv at CaseyTheHost as well. Rumble is our primary home, though. All right, so Sound of Freedom. So just want to leave off on this, and we talked with Pastor Miles about this last half hour, but Sound of Freedom is expected to make $100 million this week, and it's probably really close to it right now. I don't even think it's going to take getting into the weekend to do it. In 2 weeks' time, it raked in $85 million. It's the number one movie in the country. There's some big movies at the movie theater right now. This is the number one movie in the country. 2 weeks, it took in $85 million. This is the only movie, the only one outside of the Christmas season to ever in history see second weekend ticket sales increase over 35%. No other movie outside of the Christmas holiday season has ever done that. This is the only one that's ever done it. I mean, this thing is breaking records. It's not just a popular movie right now. The thing is breaking records, which is good. And the news media going out there, and I know that I did a whole thing on this last week, and I know I put up some videos about it last week and some podcasts about it last week at the request of many of you, going over the Disney stuff and everything else, and I get that. So I know that I'm kind of like rehashing some old stuff just a little bit here, but I wanted to do a proper setup for what I'm about to tell you. This movie gets made in 2017. It is completed in 2018. It's due to be released by 20th Century Fox. Disney buys 20th Century Fox. Disney takes a completed movie that they don't have to spend any money on, except for marketing, and they put it on the shelf and they refuse to release it. They not only refuse to release it, they refuse to release the rights to it for the people who made the movie who now want to release it as an independent film. It took 5 years almost of wrangling here to finally get the rights back and release the movie. 3 years, 4 years, whatever. They got the rights back, and then they go ahead and they release the film. And now it's the number one film in the country. You know, everything happens for a reason, I guess. If you're one of those types of people, you know, who knows? If it got released 5 years ago, maybe it doesn't have the impact that it has now. Maybe. Maybe it was ultimately a good thing that this movie got shelved. Maybe that helped people. You know, in that time frame, think about what's happened to Disney in 5 years' time. Pedophile rings discovered at Disney. We've got Disney executives on record saying that they are trying to indoctrinate your children with their content. We've got all of the scandals that have happened at Disney. You know, all of those things may very well have played into the success of people wanting to see this thing. Then you get this QAnon bit. The news media, all of a sudden, in unison, just pulls out this old QAnon thing. We haven't even heard about QAnon in a long time. And suddenly, it's a orchestrated QAnon conspiracy theory, this movie. But it's not. It's based on a real story that really happened with a real person and real victims and a real operation that took place. An operation, by the way, that was universally praised by the news media, the same news media criticizing the film now back in 2014 when they covered the story, when it was breaking news. And so one of the questions that I asked and everybody else has been asking is why is it that the news media is looking at this thing and they do not want you to go see this movie? All over social media right now, all over. You are seeing a very simple, very basic question being asked, which 5 years ago was not controversial. When did we get to a point where exposing pedophilia and protecting children was controversial? When did we get to that point? Because that's where we're at. Okay, we've got Chasten Buttigieg, the husband of the transportation secretary, a former presidential candidate, our former mayor, who will probably run for governor of Michigan in the future, maybe try to run for president again in the future, who is openly promoting pornography in schools. You got Barack Obama talking about the books that were critical in his upbringing being banned in school districts. I'm sorry, what book was that again? Because the books that parents want banned in schools right now are all relatively new. They're not old books. They're relatively new, long after Barack Obama was out of school. And yet, they have porn in them. Now, the Democrats did push to get rid of Huckleberry Finn. They did push to get rid of To Kill a Mockingbird. But the Democrats did that. Republicans didn't do that. So it was a very interesting thing for Barack Obama to say. Why is he defending this stuff? Just had somebody pop onto my Twitter. No teacher in America is showing porn to kids. Really? Because I've got the pictures to prove it. I've got the videos to prove it. And I always ask the very same question, and she will not answer. Defend a drawing of two underage boys doing very specific and very graphic sexual things to each other. That is being shown to middle school students right now. Go ahead. Defend it. Because it's happening. Defend it. They won't be able to. So how did we get to a point where 5 years ago, the Washington Post wrote an article about the epidemic of inappropriate contact between public school teachers and children, and the Department of Education desperately seeking a solution for it? How did we go from that to where we are now? To where if you dare expose that children could be exposed to being trafficked, that you're now a conspiracy theorist. And almost automatically, if you come out against pedophiles, almost automatically, you're anti-LGBTQ+. And isn't that an interesting way to look at the world? Where the gay community spent decades trying to get rid of the stigma of them being pedophiles, all of a sudden to just have suddenly these radicals coming out of nowhere and saying, well, yeah, if you're against pedophiles, you're against the LGBTQ+. Which implies that the LGBTQ+ community is pedophilic. Which they've spent decades fighting against that image. Now you're seeing groups like Gays Against Groomers, they're only one of several, that are desperately fighting against this, but they're being attacked at pride parades. So you start running into some very interesting things in the news media. And so I ran into an article the other day. And this is in Bloomberg, okay? Is Sound of Freedom a QAnon dog whistle, or is it just another thriller? Okay? They then tag the author. Bloomberg tags the author. They say this author saw the movie and has an answer. Well, do you know who the author is? That author is Noah Berlatsky. Do you know who Noah Berlatsky is? Amelia hasn't heard of Noah Berlatsky yet. Many of you haven't heard of Noah Berlatsky. I have. I know all about his 2021 controversy. I'm going to tell you all about Noah coming up. Just a minute. And I'm telling you right now, you do not want to go anywhere for this. If you are trying to figure out why the news media is behaving the way that they're behaving, I think I have an answer for you. I'm going to tell you all about Noah Berlatsky coming up, News Talk 95.3, Michiana's News Channel, and the all-new MNC Nation. And good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's News Channel, and the all-new MNC Nation. Right before we get into this author here, we're going to talk about Z-Bar to South Bend, let you know all about him. So it's in the middle of the summer. You probably noticed that the inside of your car on a hot day is really awful to get into. Maybe you can't touch your seatbelt without singeing your fingerprints off of your own hands. If you got kids, them trying to get buckled into their seats, that's a whole other battle. Well, if you have a proper window tinting job from Z-Bar to South Bend, that's less of an issue. My vehicle came with factory tint, and I thought it was good enough. It wasn't. It was really, really hot. Talked to Z-Bar to South Bend about it. I knew I was going to get the ceramic Z-Gloss coating put on my vehicle when I got it anyway. So they were saying, well, actually, it doesn't have UV protection, so they took the factory tint off and they actually put their tint on with the UV protection on there. It has been a game changer. The UV protection is even on the windshield, by the way. So now I'm not exposed to the harmful UV rays, and the inside of my vehicle is a lot cooler even on the hottest summer days, which means when I get into the car, my kids get into the car, we're not burning ourselves on everything. We just have to fire up the air conditioner, and we're cool in a couple of minutes. Z-Bar to South Bend, if you're going to get your windows tinted, best place to go. Talk to them about ceramic Z-Glass paint coating and, of course, the interior and exterior details. We get that done every season. Go to Z-Bar to South Bend. Let them know I sent you. Okay, we got to talk about Noah Berlatsky. Now, if you're just tuning in with us, Noah Berlatsky is an author. Now, Noah Berlatsky, if you follow him online or look at his Twitter profile, all of his tweets are protected tweets, every single one of them. He's got his pronouns in his bio. He's on NBC Think, Public Notice, The Atlantic, Washington Post. He's a member of the CIC, and he does a whole bunch of stuff. So this is a mainstream corporate media guy. He wrote an article for Bloomberg. Is Sound of Freedom a QAnon dog whistle, or is it just another thriller? Now, the QAnon thing came out of nowhere. QAnon was never a big movement. I'm not trying to denigrate you, you QAnon folks out there, but it never was a big movement. It certainly was never mainstream. The news media tried to make it that way to scare people and all of that stuff. Most QAnon people were, you know, very nice. Anytime we encountered them on the Discord server or what have you before Discord banned us, they were very nice. We didn't have any issues with them. We had polite disagreements, but we never had any issues with them. But it was never this giant thing. And nobody's even mentioned QAnon in a long time. And suddenly, QAnon's everywhere in the news media. This is some kind of a conspiracy theory. As if trafficking and pedophilia are conspiracy theories. So, Noah Berlatsky, ladies and gentlemen. Andy Ngo, who is a real journalist. The person who wrote this Bloomberg opinion piece is leftist activist Noah Berlatsky. He was a spokesperson for MAP, Minor Attracted Person, which is another, it's a way of normalizing pedophiles. MAPs are pedophiles. That's who they are. They're people who are sexually attracted to young children. So he was the spokesperson for the pedophile advocacy group Prostasia. In 2017, he tweeted that pedophiles are a stigmatized group who get designated as deviants. Now, this guy in his whole history, this guy has been defending pedophiles. So this is what Noah Berlatsky actually wrote. February 21st, 2017, pedophiles are essentially a stigmatized group. Certain people get designated as deviants, and people hate them. Yeah. I stand by my position. Pedophiles should die. Period. I don't care what you look like, where you're from. I don't care about your political affiliations. I don't care about your skin color, your religion. I don't care about any of that. You should die. Period. Period. End of story. Whether you've touched a child or not, I don't care. You are a defect in the gene pool that must be erased and cleansed. So let me take you back in time to 2021. Meet Noah Berlatsky, the Rutgers University Press published author working hard to normalize pedophilia. Now, for the record, if you don't know what Noah Berlatsky looks like, he looks like exactly how you think he would look. It's weird how they all have like a distinct look, right? Leftist activists all look the same. Pedophiles all seem to have the same look. They all do. Now, he'll tell you that he's not a pedophile. Even if he admits to being attracted to young children, he doesn't act upon it. I don't know that there is somebody who's not a pedophile who could defend pedophiles in such a vigorous and visceral way. Do you? Have you ever met anybody who's not a pedophile being willing to defend pedophiles so vigorously? To serve as their comms director? To speak at their conferences? To advocate for them every single day on social media? Have you ever known anybody who isn't a pedophile who can do that? I don't. So anyway, here's the article. It has come to the forefront that Noah Berlatsky is the communications director of an organization that engages in the normalization of pedophilia. The name of the organization is the Protasia Foundation, and it does appear to endorse extremely problematic opinions. Yeah, it does. Protasia calls pedophiles minor attracted persons, or MAPs, which is an undisguised attempt to rebrand pedophilia as a sexual orientation, such as homosexuality. In the past, it has condemned Tumblr removing MAPs and Allies blogs. In a post on its website, Protasia went on to claim that removing such content would harm children. Removing pedophile content from a platform that is used by younger people was going to harm kids. The post claimed an entire community at the ground zero of child sexual abuse prevention is being censored. Now, the reason that this is important is Protasia basically says that they are pedophiles, but they don't act upon it. And they advocate for pedophiles to not act upon their pedophilia. Of course, you have to ask yourself a couple of questions. Why is it that Noah Berlatsky, as the comms director for this organization when he was, why is it, if he was really interested in protecting kids from pedophiles, why was he so anti-parent in talking about how harmful parents were to kids? Why was he always talking about normalizing young people's ability to choose to have adult relations with adults? You see, the Protasia community isn't against adults and young children having sexual relations with one another. They're just against doing it against the child's will. So if you can get the kid to go along with it, you're A-OK. That is their position. This guy is a pedophile, writing for mainstream corporate news media, attacking a movie that is trying to protect children and raise awareness to what is happening to children being trafficked all over the world. Opens up some interesting questions for everybody else using the same rhetoric that he's using in his article, doesn't it? MNC News Time is 4:31. Time to check out Impress Jewelry Creations, creating meaningful jewelry for the moments that last a lifetime.
Trust your home to the bee. Casey Hendrickson.
All right, I realize I ran out of some time that last segment, so I want to read a couple of quotes from Noah Berlatsky here in just a couple of minutes. I've been posting them on the live stream on Rumble, rumble.com/Casey, the host, and then we'll get into the New York Times finally admitting the truth about COVID death numbers. Shocker, Casey was right again. In March of 2020, Noah Berlatsky, who is the pedophile who wrote the article in Bloomberg calling Sound of Freedom a QAnon dog whistle. This is a guy who used to be the comms director for Protasia, which is a pro-pedophile group that claims to protect kids. So the way that they present themselves to the public is, we are minor attracted persons, meaning we're sexually attracted to young children, but we don't act upon it. I shouldn't say that we don't act upon it. We don't force ourselves upon kids. So they present themselves as, yeah, we're pedophiles, but we can control ourselves. The problem is that Protasia and Noah Berlatsky himself specifically, on numerous occasions, have made it crystal clear that they are okay with an adult-child relationship as long as the child consents. This is exactly what we have seen from pedophile groups over the years. With NAMBLA, the National Association, the Man-Boy Love Association thing is based in San Francisco that marches in the pride parades with Nancy Pelosi. That group, they've always said the same thing. No, we don't rape kids. The kids want us to do things with them. And it's about sexual freedom and liberty. So in March of 2020, somebody who is a BLM activist, by the way, basically said, wait a minute, so you're pro-sex offender? And then Noah Berlatsky attacked this guy by saying that he loudly proclaims his allyship with black people and then attacks other people for supporting people targeted by the criminal justice system. Now, those people being targeted by the criminal justice system, of course, are the pedophiles. So he's essentially calling this guy a hypocrite because this guy stands with black people against criminal justice abuse, but won't stand with pedophiles against criminal justice abuse. Pedophiles are essentially a stigmatized group. Certain people get designated as deviants. People hate them. Young people of any gender who trade sex face arrest and abuse from police. No one is very interested in helping them. The issue isn't that people care about the victims. The issue is that pedophiles are loathed. That is Noah Berlatsky, February 21st, 2017. Now, again, you can't see any of these tweets because all of his tweets are protected now. You have to be accepted by him. One of the things that pedophiles do is they love separating you from the parent. It is a core strategy against them. You stigmatize the parent. You separate the parent from the child. And then you can start grooming. So here's what he said about parents in 2020. As the communications director for Prostasia, a pro-pedophile group, parents are tyrants. Parent is an oppressive class, like rich people or white people. There are things that you can do to try to minimize the abuse that's endemic to the parent-child relationship, but it's always there. Huh. Now, this is a guy, again, wrote this article in Bloomberg Magazine. His talking points are being repeated all over the news media about Sound of Freedom. This is a guy who has had controversies back in 2021. He's done work for Washington Post, NBC, The Atlantic, and several others. So when you see stuff like this, and you start to see everybody around this guy repeating his talking points, now you start to understand, hey, wait a minute, maybe we got a real big pedophile problem in the news media now. Maybe it's not just Hollywood. Maybe it's not just politicians. Maybe it's the news media, too. Why else would the news media be going gangbusters to try and destroy a film that is literally about a real story that they celebrated in 2014 when the story broke? They celebrated the rescuing of these kids. Now they're attacking them as a conspiracy theory. Why is that? This guy is as bad as it gets, folks. As bad as it gets. Now, I've told you before, you know, we used to do back in Clark County, Nevada, the attorneys would get together on both sides of the bench every single year, and they would write a big review of not just the legal system in Clark County, Nevada, but they would do a review of the judges. I wish that they would do that everywhere. I don't know if they still do it in Clark County or not, but they would do this. And the reason it was so amazing is you had prosecutors and you had defense lawyers all coming together and offering their assessment of people on the bench. The one year I was struck by what was being discussed because you had both sides saying that there was a problem. And for those of you who have been listening to my show for, you know, multiple markets now, you've heard me say this many times. These lawyers, prosecutors and defense lawyers, were saying that there was a problem on the bench with pedophiles, meaning there were a lot of judges who were pedophiles. And those judges would go light on pedophiles who were appearing before their court. And they, again, You know, this is something that was understood and well known. Now, at the time, there was two people in the news media who were actively discussing this, myself and Bill O'Reilly. Bill O'Reilly was doing basically a daily segment on this thing on his radio and television show. And I was doing the same thing. I was focusing more on some local stuff. He was focusing on the national issues, where you consistently had judges who were giving very light sentences, if they gave any sentences at all, to pedophiles. It's less common now, but it does creep up. Like, we had somebody, I don't know, a year or two ago, who was a pedophile, got convicted of molesting kids, and was too short to go to prison. So he didn't go to prison. He's too short. Being that short going to prison, he would be immediately put in danger. Yeah, I hope so. That was the judge's reasoning for not sending this guy to prison. So it does creep up occasionally, but it's less common than it used to be. But there has been a problem on the bench at the local level and at the national level with pedophiles on the bench for a very long time. So they kind of snuck their way, and it, almost like some of these religions and some of these cults and things like that, that, you know, they weasel their way into various positions of power, and then they help each other out. Almost like a skull and bones type situation, where it's just, you know, oh, you're a brother? Okay, cool. We'll help you out here. Almost like that. And we have seen it all over. And, you know, we knew it in Hollywood. I mean, I can still remember Oprah Winfrey looking at child actors and saying, why are you lying about these great and wonderful Hollywood people that I'm kissing up to? Why are you calling them pedophiles? Why are you saying that they're abusing kids? And all of those people were telling the truth. And Oprah Winfrey made cover for the pedophiles. We've seen this in Hollywood for a long time. I mean, you still have Hollywood celebrities celebrating known pedophiles who fled the country and everything else. Still consistently comes up. So we've had the issue in Hollywood for a long time. We've had the issue on the bench for a long time. We may have it in the news media now. It may very well be commonplace in the news media. How else do you explain somebody? Folks, I'm just trying to put myself in an editor's position here. If I'm the editor of a major newspaper, why do I hire somebody who is the communications director for a pro-pedophile group? Why do I run his stories where he defends pedophiles? Why do I allow him to write for me? Why would I ever do that as an editor? Why would I do that? There's, I suppose, one answer. If there's a second one, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know about the rest of you. But who out there is like, oh, you're a minor attracted person. Oh, you defend minor attracted people. Pedophiles. You defend pedophiles? Oh, okay. Oh, you tweeted this, you tweeted that. Yeah, you could totally write an article for me where you defend pedophiles again. Who hires people like that? This guy can make a living, and he's fully out. He's fully out, folks. And he's making a living. This is a much bigger problem than a lot of people want to admit. And they can call it a QAnon conspiracy all they want and try and minimize it. But anybody who says that is automatically under suspicion. Anybody who says that child trafficking is a conspiracy theory is automatically under suspicion. Any judge who gives a light sentence to somebody who rapes a child is automatically under suspicion. And should be for all of you as well. And it is perfectly normal for you to not have any physical evidence against that person to go, yep, you know what? Something doesn't seem right here. Because the normal state of being for a typical person is one of revulsion and rage at somebody who would prey upon kids. Not understanding, not sympathy, and certainly not compassion. More coming up. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's News Channel, and the all-new MNC Nation.
You're listening to Casey Hendrickson on News Talk 95.3 and on 101.9 FM and 1340 AM. The all-new MNC Nation.
This hour's business spotlight is on Prime Table Restaurant in Niles. Over 30 years of great food and exceptional service. The Prime Table on 11th Street in Niles.
Sean Hannity.
When these six witnesses come forward and they corroborate David Weiss did not have the authority, which would then prove that the Attorney General lied and perjured himself, that would mean it's time for impeaching the Attorney General, Merrick Garland. That's the first person that I would impeach. The first one.
The Sean Hannity Show, weeknights 6 till 9 on News Talk 95.3, Michiana's News Channel, your breaking news and weather station.
Where in Michiana can you get the most fresh and authentic Mexican food this side of the Rio Grande? Who in Michiana has a dedicated event space where your group can spread out and take your events to the next level? Where can you go take the whole family for fundraiser give back nights, Monday night family fun trivia, and more? Would the same food be available to cater your tailgate, office party, graduation party, wedding, or special event? Would they even deliver the same fresh menu items to all factory shifts? The answer to all of these is Monterey Mexican Bar and Grill on McKinley and Division Street in Mishawaka. Dine in today or visit MontereyMexican.com for our full menu, customizable catering options, and while you're there, sign up for the email club to receive exclusive offers. Feed your taste buds with authentic Mexican cuisine. Enjoy weekly food and drink specials, homemade queso, fresh guacamole, grilled peppers and onions over marinated steak and chicken, and authentic Mexican tortillas and so much more. After all, it's what you want.
Stay cool and breathe easier this summer. Home Comfort Experts has the quality products and expert technicians you can trust with your house keys. Right now, you can get a new HVAC system for as low as $24 a week or enjoy 0% financing. Plus, this month only, your new system install comes with a free Clean Air Pro Bundle, over $2,000 in value. Stay comfy and healthy all summer. Visit callhomecomfort.com to schedule your appointment today.
Call Home Comfort Experts.
We are all built a little bit differently, and that includes our feet. Hi, this is Perry Mirabali from New Balance Granger in Maryville, and we know everyone has uniquely shaped feet, which is why New Balance shoes comes in widths from narrow to extra wide. Have one of our certified fit specialists measure and scan your feet to determine the proper size, width, and level of support for your unique feet. Visit New Balance at Tuscana Park in Granger or on Route 30 and Maryville Road in Maryville, where we eliminate the guesswork and ensure the perfect fit.
Energy-efficient replacements in Granger offers screen repair. When you have a screen that needs fixed or repaired, you can call the team at EER and they will come and repair them. Or you can drop the screens off at their office in Granger. Let Zach Yoder and the team at Energy Efficient Replacements get your screens fixed and keep the bugs outside. We're celebrating 20 years at Energy Efficient Replacements in Granger. Call for a free estimate today.
It's a big year for the Elkhart County 4-H Fair. We're celebrating 150 years. Relive your fondest fair memories from July 21st to the 29th at the Elkhart County 4-H Fair.
Opening day is this Friday. Catch free family events like the Ninja Experience at Hollyhock Entertainment Center. Three free shows daily. Download the new mobile app to see the full schedule of events. Visit 4HFair.org.
Get tickets and more at 4HFair.org. Celebrating 150 years.
Sizzling summer savings is happening right now at R&B Car Company, where you'll find fast and friendly service and, of course, the best deal bottom line. But what do you know about a company that's been around for more than 20-plus years, serving Michiana, voted number one independent volume dealer time and time again, even ranked nationally? Well, there's a reason why we are where you ought to be.
We treat the customer the way we want to be treated. It's a golden rule.
It's actually a no-brainer for us because we don't want people to wait. We want to give you the fast and friendly service. We want to give you the best deal bottom line, and we want to make sure that we can get everybody financed that walks in the door the best way possible. That's why we do what we do.
And we've been here 20 years doing it, and we love it.
90 days, same as cash right now, $3,500 minimum for your trade, or we'll match your down payment up to $3,500.
And we're opening up a new store in Allen County, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
What does that mean for you as a consumer?
It means a lot, because you're going to have a lot more to choose from.
And you can find all of them and get pre-approved right now at rbcarcompany.com.
We'll see you soon.
The Mark Levin Show, weeknights 9 till midnight on News Talk 95.3, Michiana's News Channel, your breaking news and weather station.
and good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's news channel. So I lied to you. Liberals are like, duh, you lie to us all the time. So I will do the COVID numbers, the New York Times admitting the COVID death truth. I will do that at 5 o'clock. I ran late on the last topic, and I don't want to rush it through here in the last couple of minutes. I do got to tell you about Jason's Automotive, though. Jason's Automotive in Edwardsburg, Michigan, serving all of Michiana. They're just minutes from Mishawaka, from Granger, from South Bend. They're kind of centrally located, not that far from Niles either. Go to JasonAutoTruckRepair.com. You can get their address, you get their phone number to make an appointment, all of that stuff. So whether you have AC repair needs, you need batteries done, diagnostics, oil changes, all of that stuff. They're doing wheel alignments right now, too. A lot of people are still getting their wheels aligned from the pothole winter that we have to deal with every single year. So make sure you go to JasonAutoTruckRepair.com. Set up your appointment. When you go into Jason's Automotive, let them know that I sent you. All right. This one is quite interesting. We haven't talked about pirating movies in a long time. It's going to be more common, though. We're at a point now where we were having an issue with pirating, and then it kind of calmed down because of cutting the cord. So the moment people were able to get, you know, streaming services, and they were able to just get a channel that they wanted and cancel it when the series that they wanted to watch. A lot of people are doing this with HBO with Game of Thrones. So Game of Thrones new season would come out. People would get HBO. They'd watch Game of Thrones. They'd cancel it. They're doing that now with Disney and The Mandalorian, although the last season of Mandalorian seems to have lost some fans. And, you know, people are kind of able to do that as opposed to having a full cable package. It was costing them a lot of money. So pirating became less prevalent as a result. And the solution to pirating always was allow people to buy whatever the series is a la carte instead of making them actually subscribe to your whole network for 3 years. So there's a Reddit user that has admitted to pirating a movie, get this, 12 years ago. And now movie studios want to unmask this guy. Is there not a statute of limitations on this? You typically have a statute of limitations like 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 12 years. They still want to go after this guy? And what this is Reclaim the Net. And what appears to be an escalating incursion into a user's digital privacy, a collective of film companies continue to implore the court to compel Reddit to surrender its users' personal details. This move is part of an ongoing piracy liability case against internet service providers. Reddit, however, steadfastly resists. It's one of the few good things that Reddit does. They will protect your identity if need be. And they're generally pretty awful, but they will do that. They're staunchly defending its users' rights to be anonymous, while governments and law enforcement agencies have increasingly sought user details from Reddit. With over 1,000 requests, 277 search warrants, and 582 subpoenas last year, Torrent Freak reported, Reddit has staunchly resisted drawing a firm line in the sand to protect its users' privacy. The battle over privacy rights came to a head earlier this year when film companies involved in litigation against ISPRCN attempted to extract personal details of Reddit users via a DMCA subpoena. Reddit objected, criticized the subpoena as a sweeping and excessive invasion of user privacy rather than a reasonable search for evidence, and Reddit made a stand, yielding the details of only one user and rejecting the rest, underscoring its commitment to the right to anonymous speech. Now, the court has actually sided with Reddit on this, ruling that the right to anonymity outweighed the copyright holder's interests. U.S. District Court Magistrate Judge Laurel Beeler further reinforced this stance by suggesting the film companies could obtain necessary information through alternative channels, such as directly from the internet service provider in question. Right. Much easier to get information from the ISP than it would be from a social network, typically. So anyway, there's this user who, I guess, online admitted that he pirated a movie 12 years ago. He put it on a comment. He pirated the movie The Expendables. Can you imagine getting a huge fine and going to jail for The Expendables of all movies? And so they want to unmask this guy and go after him for pirating 12 years later, ladies and gentlemen. 12 years later. like I said, let the strike continue and let Hollywood burn itself to the ground. I'm okay with that. Got more coming up. 95.3 MNC and the all-new MNC Nation.
40 years and 80,000 families. Trust your home to the bee. Casey Hendrickson.
Good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's news channel and the all-new MNC Nation. I'm your host, Casey Hendrickson. Do you want to thank R&B Car Company, locations in South Bend, Warsaw, Columbia City? R&B Car Company are your used car experts. You can find them online at rbcarcompany.com. Most of you have probably heard by now, former President Donald Trump said that he received a letter yesterday informing him that he is the target of a special counsel investigation of the January 6th Capitol breach. Trump said that the Sunday letter from special counsel, I guess he told everybody yesterday that he got it previous. Okay, whatever. So he got the letter from Jack Smith, the special counsel, and gave him 4 days to report to a grand jury. In a message posted on his social media platform, Truth Social, on July 18th, Trump suggested that the short deadline may mean that he would be arrested and indicted again. And can I just say, I'm so irritated with conservative media when it comes to these special counsel type people or things like that, because without fail, consistently, it goes all the way back to Mueller, you know, being appointed. Without fail, they go, well, I hear that they're a fine, upstanding individual. Can you just look into their history? Like, everybody who praised Mueller when Mueller was appointed to investigate Trump, they're like, well, everybody in D.C. says that this guy is, you know, beyond reproach and super full of integrity. I'm like, no, Mueller ran the FBI disastrously in one of the most scandal-ridden tenures at the FBI, certainly in the modern era. There's obviously a couple throughout history that were worse, but Mueller was terrible. He was awful. And everybody just forgot about that. And I keep hearing the same thing about Jack Smith. Oh, he's got a great reputation. He's got a great reputation. No, he doesn't. He's got a terrible reputation. Jack Smith, his fingerprints are all over some of the most egregious abuses of the law in the past, 6 years? This guy is not full of integrity. He's not a fine, upstanding citizen. He's not somebody who dots all of his I's and crosses all of his T's and only does the right thing. Jack Smith is a tyrant. He's a political activist who will do whatever he can to destroy Republicans, and he's increasingly been responsible for some of the most farcical cases, if you can call them that, against Trump and others. He's not a fine, upstanding citizen. Like, just do your research on these people before you go out there and go, oh, everybody I've talked to says that they're just amazing. No, he's not. He's corrupt. Okay? That's who this guy is. He's corrupt. He always has been corrupt. It doesn't do any good to pretend otherwise. But I keep running into it. It really irks me. I don't know if it's just a knee-jerk reaction to just try to find the, you know, faith in bureaucrats, in the judicial system. I don't know what it is. Do you remember the Pink Beret lady? The very attractive lady who got known for her pink beret at the January 6th protest. Her name is Jennifer Nzunza. Now, they were looking for her forever. You know, she's a good-looking girl. She's fashionable. She's apparently a clothing designer. And I'm only bringing that up because that was important to finding her. So she's at the January 6th protest where people are just, you know, dressed in their normal street clothes, and here she is, like, looking pristine and elegant and nice. And her ex-boyfriend, is the one who ID'd her. You talk about a butt-hurt soy boy. So he contacts the authorities after her photo went viral. And he's like, I know who she is. And so he goes ahead and he outs her. Well, anyway, we just found out that her husband, apparently she's married, has been charged with crimes on January 6th at the Capitol. More than 2 months after his wife was charged with four misdemeanors related to the January 6th, 2021 Capitol breach, Spencer Sidney Geller has been charged by federal prosecutors with 5 counts. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is because of the counts, okay? Mr. Geller was charged with felony obstruction of law enforcement during civil disorder and four misdemeanors. Okay. Entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building, and parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. One of the counts there was specifically because he helped push over the first police barricades at the U.S. Capitol's West Front. So they charged the guy with pushing over police barricades at the U.S. Capitol. So if I'm to understand this, since years later now, all right, 2.5 years later, this guy's been charged with pushing over the police barricades outside of the West Front on the Capitol, then I am to believe that pushing over police barricades at the Capitol on January 6th was a criminal offense, right? Amelia, am I being weird about that? Does that seem appropriate? It seems appropriate. Okay, cool. You know who we have on camera pushing over police barricades at the Capitol? Anybody? Ray Epps. Ray Epps. Why aren't they charging Ray Epps with it? Huh? I know that they're going to charge him now so they can say that they are charging him. But I'm just pointing it out. Everybody else who did it gets charged. Ray Epps doesn't get any charges. Ray Epps is completely let go. Adam Kinzinger defends the guy. News media says it's a giant QAnon conspiracy against the guy. I'm just pointing it out. I find it interesting. This guy, after 2.5 years, is charged with pushing over the police barricades. Ray Epps is on camera doing it. No charges. Just throwing that out there. Okay, New York Times. New York Times. I'm still waiting for my apology, Trisha. When are you going to call an apology? You know what, Trisha? I understand. It can be intimidating to call me. The last time you called me, it didn't go very well for you. Here's what I will do. Send me some Sherry's berries or something. No food items, because she'll poison me. Send me something as an apology, and I will accept it gracefully and graciously on the air, and I will squash our beef, Trisha. Lots of health statistics can be deceiving, especially when comparing countries to countries and even region to region. It can be intensely frustrating when non-comparable stats are used to make a point, usually a political point. The most obvious case is comparing infant mortality statistics between countries. The U.S. often looks bad in these comparisons, but that is mostly due to the fact that we actually count the mortality of infants while other countries bury the data by excluding a lot of deaths from their statistics, which is something that we've talked about on the show. A number of countries classify early deaths of infants who were live births as being stillborn, for instance. In the U.S., we count any baby born alive who subsequently dies in our infant mortality statistics. Another case is COVID stats, where the United States ranks pretty poorly, as with infant mortality, despite years of being told that the U.S. government has been rigorous in properly counting COVID deaths. Everybody who has a working brain should have figured out by now that the U.S. has grossly overcounted deaths from the virus. We have given you endless examples of this throughout the COVID coverage that this program did. There are lots of reasons for that. There was an actual financial incentive to do so, with the government paying larger sums to healthcare providers for COVID patients and paying the death expenses of those who died from COVID. By the way, some of the top health officials in the state of Indiana went public and said that was a myth. And then you pull up the actual documents from the state of Indiana where they do, in fact, reimburse for that. So you had all of these public health officials going, no, we don't pay you for that stuff. No, that's not true. We don't pay you for that. And then they got paid for it. So again, take a step back. Ask yourself a very simple question. Why did they want to lie to you about that? What was their reasoning? And of course, the establishment wanted everybody panicked and compliant, and no better way to do that than to claim that every motorcycle accident victim was actually a COVID death, which we had several examples of motorcycle deaths that were listed as COVID deaths. Well, here we go. Kevin Bass, PhD, MS, after relentlessly calling it a conspiracy theory, the New York Times and the CDC now admit authorities overcounted COVID deaths and overhyped the pandemic. About one-third of official COVID deaths or hundreds of thousands of deaths were not due to COVID. Hashtag told you. So this is the actual bit in the article from the New York Times. COVID's toll, to be clear, has not fallen to zero. The CDC's main COVID webpage estimates that about 80 people per day have been dying from the virus in recent weeks, which is equal to about 1% of overall daily deaths. The official number is probably an exaggeration. The official number is probably an exaggeration. The official number is probably an exaggeration. Because it includes some people who had virus when they died, even though it was not the underlying cause of death. Hey, where have we heard that before? Huh? Other CDC data suggests that almost one-third of official recent COVID deaths have fallen into this category. A study published by the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases came to a similar conclusion. Oh, man. Well, isn't that interesting? A third of COVID deaths, huh? People who died with COVID, not from COVID. Where have we heard that before? Told you. More coming up. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's News Channel, and the all-new MNC Nation. And good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's News Channel. By the way, the live stream on Rumble has been really good this week. Thank you for checking us out on Rumble. And if you're new to Rumble, hit that subscribe button. Doesn't cost anything. Make sure you hit the thumbs up, too. I do appreciate that. We try to get over 100 likes per day just because that really helps the algorithm on the home screen. I've also had some new people following on Kick and Twitch. So for those of you who do that, thank you very much. And again, for the radio audience, I'm not telling you to go to Kick or to Twitch. I mean, Rumble is our home. Trying to grow a different audience in different places, and if we find people over there, then great. I mean, the more people that we add from different backgrounds, different areas of the country or the world, the better. I do have to tell you about Cottage Inn Pizza. So the family and I, I actually had this conversation with somebody not that long ago because they saw that we were getting Cottage Inn Pizza, and they're like, oh, I love Cottage Inn Pizza, but they're so far away in Niles. So here's what we do. About once a month, we go to Cottage Inn Pizza because it's the kids' favorite. What we have is we have one of those heated pizza delivery bags that's it plugs into the USB in your car. And so, well, it's a USB cable, but it plugs into your cigarette lighter. So the bag keeps the pizza nice and fresh and warm. So we'll get it from Cottage Inn Pizza, and then we take it home, and then everybody has their pizzas. So we got the kids their own custom pizzas again. I posted the video. By the way, the reaction to the video was great as well. I don't put the kids online all that much, but I wanted people to see how much they loved Cottage Inn Pizza because they get their own personal little pizza and they can put whatever they want on it. Okay, Harper, she gets pepperoni. Bree used to get pepperoni, but Bree has, we'll call it an eclectic palate. So here's what she decided. She decided that she wanted jalapeno and pineapple on her pizza, which is vomit inducing to me, but she loved it. She said it was fantastic. She absolutely loved it. But that's, again, one of the great things about being able to get your own pizza is you can customize it any way that you want. So she thoroughly enjoyed it, and she swears she's going to get it again. We got an old family staple of pepperoni, black olives, and onions, but you can get it whatever you want. Cottage Inn Pizza just makes fantastic pizza. They have gluten-free options. The in-sticks and the cheese bread are fantastic. By the way, if you get a large pizza, any kind of large pizza, this month, and you mention me, you get free cheese bread. They have oven-toasted subs, salads, and they even have calzones and pastas and desserts. And the wings, by the way, were also fantastic. As a big plus for those of you who are ranch snobs, Cottage Inn Pizza has the good ranch. If you're a ranch consumer, you understand what I mean. If you're not, you probably don't. But there's good ranch, and then there's every other type of ranch that you get, and they have the good ranch. Go to cottageinn.com to take a look at their menu, order online. You can also visit them in Niles, Michigan. Do yourself a favor. Download the Cottage Inn Pizza app in your app store, and you'll get sent regular deals. So if you're looking for a plant-based pizza, they have that as well. We have tons of options for everybody. It's Cottage Inn Pizza is one of our family favorite pizzas. That's why we do it once per month and make the trip. Definitely check them out, Cottage Inn Pizza. Let them know that I sent you. Get that free cheese bread this month. Okay. It's not just that the New York Times and the CDC are admitting that about a third of COVID deaths are people dying with COVID, not from COVID. Some additional information has really been coming out. We've got some emails involving Dr. Fauci we'll get to in a minute. But it's also now been revealed that scientific experts in 2020 viewed the theory of COVID being leaked from the lab in Wuhan as very likely, but instead chose to sign a paper in March of that year saying the opposite. This isn't the first time that you've heard this. I've been telling you this for years now. The reason I'm bringing it up again is we now have more physical evidence. We have the emails. We have the documents that we didn't have before, which shows that these scientists and these experts knew from the very beginning that it was from the lab. Which is why in December of 2019, I cracked this microphone and told you all about the Wuhan lab and why I thought it came out of that lab. This is before anybody knew anything about it. Now, the only reason I knew about this lab is because of my previous work. The average person, even in media, would not know about the Wuhan lab. It was by pure coincidence that I had done stuff on the Wuhan lab previously that I knew about it. Okay? So I was in a unique position to tell everybody, I think this came from this lab, because this is in Wuhan. There's a lab there. It's a bioweapons lab that is attached to a civilian lab. And I started, even at that time in December of 2019, we had rumors of the doctors at the lab being sick, which are now confirmed. We now know the doctors at that lab were sick. So the lab theory, there's a bunch of experts at the NIH, the CDC, and elsewhere who immediately knew that this thing came out of a lab. And then what happened is they were on a phone call and a conference call, and they were talking about it, and Fauci basically told everybody to hang up, and then Fauci ripped everybody a new one and got them all to change their opinion in a letter, and they signed off on this letter saying it wasn't a lab leak. Now, the reason that Fauci did that is because the phone call was easily FOIA'd. So when they were starting to talk about, we think this came out of a lab, the reason that Fauci shut that phone call down was because a FOIA request to get that phone call could easily be submitted. So he went through back channels. Every single one of the doctors, folks, that changed their mind from this being from a lab to this being natural, every single one of them suddenly, magically, had an influx of money coming into their labs from the NIH. Every single one of them. The March paper titled The Proximal Origin of SARS-CoV-2 was signed by a group of scientists in 2020, played an influential role in shaping public consensus that the pandemic had originated in a Chinese wet market and not a lab, which of course always was a conspiracy theory. The lab was always the real story. House Republicans on the subcommittee investigating the origins of COVID accidentally released a set of new documents on Wednesday, accidentally, containing screenshots of emails and Slack messages, which show that the scientists who signed on the proximal origin paper actually believed the opposite of what they told the public. Well, that's a heck of an accidental leak there by the Republicans on the committee. Good job, guys. I'm glad you did it for whatever reason. But I'm glad you did it, because now we have more physical evidence of what actually transpired. So once again, folks, it all started as a lie. They continue to lie to you throughout COVID, and they're still lying to you today. Got more coming up, 95.3 MNC. MNC News Time is 5:31. Time to check out Impress Jewelry Creations, creating meaningful jewelry for the moments that last a lifetime.
1,000 families. Trust your home to the bee. Casey Hendrickson.
And good afternoon. Thank you for tuning in. News Talk 95.3, Michiana's news channel in the all-new MNC Nation. I'm your host, Casey Hendrickson. All right, let's go over additional things dealing with Fauci, COVID, etc. because we have some new information about Fauci this week that has come out. I haven't had a chance to get to it just yet. But now, Senator Rand Paul is asking the Department of Justice to investigate Fauci for lying to Congress, because we have new emails that prove that he did. I know that it's not the first time that we've caught Fauci red-handed lying, because he's a pathological liar. Little weasel guy has always lied to you. But Senator Rand Paul, reinvigorated by newly released emails from 2020 showing Dr. Anthony Fauci admitted that scientists at Wuhan University were known to have been working on gain-of-function experiments, is calling for Fauci to be investigated for lying to Congress. Now, for those of you who do not remember, there will be, or there was a very big fight that happened between Rand Paul and Fauci. There's lots of them, but there's one in particular about gain-of-function. And Fauci vigorously defended the Wuhan lab, well, because he was making money off of them, and they were conducting research that he wasn't legally allowed to conduct in the United States on his behalf, but I digress. So he was defending the Wuhan lab, and he said that there was no gain-of-function research happening at that lab, and that the United States wasn't funding any gain-of-function research, except we were. And there is an established definition of gain of function that the NIH changed the definition of, so that way they didn't fall under the category of gain of function. And so they were. He was basically arguing semantics when he was having that dispute during a hearing with Senator Paul. Now, Senator Rand Paul, who has largely been correct throughout all of COVID and has correctly called treatments, has correctly mentioned that Fauci was being dishonest or wrong about various things. And Fauci, every time we actually have a transcript of Fauci saying that Rand Paul was wrong, Fauci ended up being proven wrong later. And that includes treatments. And it's unfortunate, because very early on, Senator Rand Paul had suggested medical treatments that could save lives, and Fauci dismissed them, and it turns out those were the treatments we should have been using all along, and the treatments being pushed by Fauci, the NIH, and the CDC actually got people killed. That's the truth. So when he went in front of Congress and he defended the Wuhan lab and said there's no gain of function, and then argued semantics about the changed definition and everything else, I mean, Rand Paul was obviously upset, did a whole media tour on that, and he proved that Fauci was being dishonest. And anybody who is intellectually honest at all who looked at that, so gain of function has a very specific definition. The NIH can try and weasel their way out of it with legal terminology all they want. Everybody knows what gain of function is. And so when you say gain of function, you know exactly what is transpiring. And the NIH changing the definition around to try and protect themselves legally wasn't a justifiable defense. But that's what Fauci did. So anyway, Senator Rand Paul has been reinvigorated by all of this. The Kentucky Republican wrote to the Attorney General, Merrick I Am Corrupt Garland, last week, saying that Fauci had committed perjury, which he did, when he told the Senate that in July 2021, that the National Institutes of Health, quote, has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Which, of course, we know is not true. We've always known that this wasn't true, by the way. We've known this for a very long time. The difference now is you've got emails with Fauci's name on it saying that he knows that. That's what's different, which means that Fauci wasn't just playing the definition game. Fauci was intentionally misleading the Senate. That's the problem. The 2020 email from Fauci revolved around a call that he shared with various scientists, including Francis Collins, the former director of the NIH. He's the guy who did that weird little Kumbaya song and embarrassed himself on national TV, who are concerned about the fact that upon viewing the sequences of several isolates of the nCoV, there were mutations in the virus that would be most unusual to have evolved naturally in the bats, and that there was a suspicion that this mutation was inserted. Now, again, we've known about these emails, we've known about these calls for some time. The problem is that we didn't have specific emails from Fauci where he himself was admitting that it was likely gain of function. We've heard that they existed. We didn't have them black and white in front of us. We knew that Fauci had thrown a ton of money at scientists who changed their opinion on it right after they changed their opinion on it. But we didn't have an actual email in black and white with Fauci's name on it that we knew that he wrote, we knew that he sent, we knew that he meant, where he said that this was likely a genetic modification that human beings did. This key passage immediately followed. The suspicion was heightened by the fact that scientists in Wuhan University are known to have been working on gain-of-function experiments to determine the molecular mechanisms associated with bat viruses adapting to human infection, and the outbreak originated in Wuhan. All things that Fauci is on record as telling you didn't happen. Yet here he is in an email basically calling himself a liar. So, yep, he perjured himself in front of the Senate. He lied to all of you. They continue to lie to you. You still have people running around with masks on their face, for crying out loud. The White House is still forcing healthy athletes to put masks on their face. They're not vaccinated. There's still this bizarro world stuff out there. Fauci is as bad as they come. Not a good person, not a nice person, straight up evil. More coming up, 95.3 MNC and the all-new MNC Nation.